You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? I'm Ben Dubose, reporter with Sports Talk 790, and this is Locked On Rockets. I just got back from Toyota Center. The Rockets are wrapping up their third two-a-days, Saturday, Monday, and today, Wednesday. They had two practices, so they've been at it hard for the past 5 days. They are going to get a day off tomorrow. That's Thursday. It's the first day off since training camp began. And then they're really going to pick up over the weekend because, well, Sunday's the preseason opener. And then Tuesday, there's another game. And shortly after that, they have a trip to China. So we're really... The dog days are over. We're getting into actual basketball, and now the Rockets are going from just getting in shape in general to actually putting together at least some semblance of a game plan and rotation. Not so much a game plan because, yeah, they're preseason games, but at least a rotation as they start to figure out who they want to put where and who is going to start as we enter this season. And when it comes to the Rockets starting lineup, we've talked the last couple of shows about the uncertainty at center, somewhat surprising uncertainty at center, because four spots are generally well spoken for. Pat Beverly, James Harden, you can call whoever you want the point guard, but those are your guards. And then Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson, those are your forwards. Those spots are taken up. And of course, Eric Gordon as your sixth man playing point guard, shooting guard, maybe even a little bit of small forward, playing a little bit of everything. But the center spot, it's interesting. We have all assumed that Clint Capela is going to get that role since Dwight Howard left. But the Rockets have continually, as I have said throughout this week, refused to declare Clint their starter at center because, of course, he is competing with Nene. That's who they brought in after Dwight Howard left in July. And the more interviews you have in which the Rockets pass on a declaration, Morey didn't declare Capela the starter in Las Vegas in July. Mike D'Antoni didn't do it at Media Day last Friday. He also hasn't done it at camp this week. It's pretty clear that at least on some level, they are experimenting with this. And to that end, we have certainly seen Nene play with the first teamers a lot in what small glimpses of training camp we've gotten this week. Now, personally, in my case, I've always said that I think that Capela will still be the starter. And if I had to bet, I would still make Capela a slight favorite. Because, one, I think they do, after Nene gave the Rockets such a sweetheart deal, I think they definitely want to give him every opportunity to earn playing time. Secondly, Nene's the veteran, Clint is young. In general, you want your young guys to have to earn minutes. So on a veteran team, yeah, a lot of the times there's some deference given to veterans, especially early in training camp. So I think a lot of that stuff is going on, and if Capela is as good a player as a lot of people think he is, including folks that we've had on this show, then I don't see that you have a choice but to make him your starting center. However, some of the things said have given me a little bit of pause. Not necessarily criticisms of Capela, but more praise of Nene. Everyone from Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, to James Harden himself has gone out of their way, seemingly, to mention just how good Nene looks, just how good of a passer he is, and somewhat unexpected. And when asked about it yesterday, again, Mike D'Antoni did not commit to either as the starter. However, he did say some really interesting things, and I'm going to read you the comments from Jonathan Fagan's article in The Chronicle. If you haven't done it, it's on Jonathan's Twitter feed. But he mentions, the Rockets hope to use Nene as a playmaker on the perimeter, allowing cutters to move without the ball with the post open. We play a certain way, and it kind of fits his style for us, D'Antoni said. He's going to be a playmaker for us from the top of the key. He can do a lot of things. Now, Jonathan speculates that ability could make Nene a better fit with the Rockets' second unit, especially when Harden is out of the game and the Rockets need playmaking from another source. However, that's just Jonathan's take on it, and while I see where he's coming from, if you read a little further, there's something else from D'Antoni that is very interesting. And this is his response when asked if there's a battle between Nene and Capela for the starting job. I don't see it as a battle, D'Antoni said. We need to make sure we take care of Clint and do what's best for him, whether that's start him or not start him. We need both of them to be great. They're both going to have a big role. They're both going to contribute nightly to this team. Some of it is about matchups. Some of it is who you fit best with on the floor. If you're a starter, do you fit best with Ryan Anderson? Not whether you are better or not. If you're Demo, if we ever get him in, does he fit best with Clint or Nene? I think both will accept whatever it is. This is a new angle to it that I hadn't thought of. Now, I mentioned that you might want to have another reason for Capella in the starting lineup is that Ryan Anderson is not a shot blocker. Nene is also not a shot blocker. And if you put Capella in there, it gives you the ability to at least contest more shots around the rim and compensate some for Ryan Anderson's shortcomings in that area. Another thing, though, Ryan Anderson is not a passer. Neither is Clint Capella. Although he's better than folks think, but he's certainly not a distributor. On the other hand, Nene and Denonis Mataunas, assuming he comes in, those guys are passers. So when you look at your four bigs that are going to play the most minutes, Ryan Anderson, Capella, Nene, and Demo, maybe if you're Mike D'Antoni, there's a case to split Nene and Demo. Because if you do that with Nene as a starter and Demo as your second unit, you have one big in the game at all times that is capable of basically anchoring your ball movement, playing from the perimeter and making sure that the ball does not get sticky. Now, again, it's not a lock that that's the route you go because there are other concerns. Shot blocking's one. Minutes is another. I think no matter what you say, if you're out there with the starters, there's a tendency to stick with that unit together, especially if they're playing well. And I think it's very easy to potentially overextend Nene a little bit if you do that and get him towards 25 minutes and up. And if you do that, I think it's clear that his body, especially at age 34 years old, there's a high chance that it might break down. So it's not that you can't make Nene a starter, but it's just very challenging because at his age, you really have to avoid playing him too much too early, or else I think you're asking for trouble. And so I think bringing him off the bench, it's a lot easier to stagger those minutes. However, if D'Antoni is open to it, then yes, it can work. Another thing I hadn't thought of, I think we remember D'Antoni's last stint on a quasi-contender, which is the 2012-2013 Lakers, which hilariously flopped. That was the group with Kobe, Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, and Pau Gasol. If you remember the preseason Sports Illustrated cover, this is going to be fun, and while it was only fun for the rest of the NBA that enjoyed laughing at the Lakers, but I don't count that last year in LA, because after Dwight left and Kobe got hurt, obviously that team had no chance to do anything at all, and D'Antoni was just, you know, a fish out of water at that point. But he was brought in that 2012-2013 season after the Lakers got off to that bad start after 10 games to kind of, you know, bring his style and hopefully get the Lakers playing better on the offensive end of the floor. And one thing that he did, if you guys remember, he started Earl Clark ahead of Pau Gasol. There's no question, of course, that Pau Gasol was the better player, but even in that, D'Antoni thought that for that particular team, that Earl Clark was a better fit for the starting lineup with Kobe, with Dwight, with Steve Nash. And again, there are obviously some caveats because that Lakers team clearly had some chemistry issues. So D'Antoni was always fighting with one hand behind his back, and maybe that's why he was more willing to gamble on someone like Earl Clark over Pau Gasol. But the reason I bring up that example, it's pretty clear over the course of Mike D'Antoni's career that he is not just going to start the five best players all the time. He believes in fits. Some guys start, some come off the bench. And so even though a lot of folks are working under the assumption that Capella's primed for this big breakthrough, that, well, he's clearly going to start because he has the most upside. Well, one thing about Mike D'Antoni, he doesn't always buy that theory. And, you know, until seeing his quote about, well, you know, if you're Demo, if we put him in, does he fit best with Clint or Nene? Again, that's pretty interesting because Demo is a passer, and so maybe you want, he's not so much a rim protector, he's not so much an athlete. So Demo and Nene do have a lot of the same strengths and weaknesses. I guess that's where I'm trying to go with that point. Demo and Nene, they're both good passers, they're both good post players, neither one of them is all that springy at this point. So really, you're duplicating some of those skills, whereas if you play Demo with Capella, You've got skill sets that are more contrasting, and by doing that, of course, you put Nene with the starter, Demo off the second bench. You've got someone as a big that can keep the ball moving at all times. Again, this is just me playing devil's advocate. I still think Clint Capella is the odds on favorite to be the starting center, but this is something D'Antoni said that at least makes me think a little bit. Another thing I feel compelled to point out, while there's been a lot made of positives about Nene, it's not that people are down on Clint Capela at all. Dave Hardesty of Clutch Fans at today's afternoon availability on Wednesday asked D'Antoni about whether Clint looks primed for a breakthrough, and D'Antoni raved about him. D'Antoni said that, especially from a stamina perspective, Clint was in much better shape than he expected. He said that over the summer, he was a little worried about it because, as I've said before, despite all the positives, Capela has only played 19 minutes a game in the NBA. So can you take that production and extrapolate it over 30, 35 minutes? Not necessarily. But D'Antoni said he was very pleased with how Clint looks physically, that he thinks he is fully capable of taking on a bigger role. So I don't want to make it sound like that, well, everything is positive about Nene and no one's talking about Clint. Nene is just winning this job. I don't think it's that. I think people are positive on Clint as well. It's just, I think there was so much written about Clint over the offseason. I think a lot of the players and the people around the organization, they expected Clint to be great. I don't know if the expectations were there for Nene. Clearly they were for Mike D'Antoni, but it's catching a lot of us in the media and maybe a few others around the Rockets by surprise. And so that's why we've heard a lot of those quotes in the early going. Again, my bet, it's still going to be Capela on opening night, but you're hearing more and more that makes you at least think that, you know what, maybe there is a case, especially with the passing and D'Antoni's desire to have someone that can move the ball up front to have Nene play some minutes with the starters. Now, aside from Nene and Capela, the rest of your bigs, it's going as expected. Ryan Anderson, he's exactly what people expect him to be. Great shooter from the outside, pretty good rebounder, works hard. Demo, not in camp yet, but Saturday is October 1st. Hopefully that's the day that either with the qualifying offer or that forcing his team to the negotiating table, something gets done, and hopefully by the beginning part of next week, Demo will be in camp. The other interesting things that we heard today, D'Antoni referenced Sam Dekker playing the 2, 3, and 4 spots. He referred several times to Dekker being 6'9", said that his versatility should be a virtue for him, but you're clearly seeing a big emphasis on Sam early in camp. The Rockets are very high on him after how well he played in Las Vegas. So yes, you could see Dekker playing some small ball 4 minutes. The other thing, Montrezl Harrell, oh my gosh, guys, you should see how many threes he's putting up. It is clear that, you know, the threes he took in summer league, that's not just a one-off, well, this is what he's trying. No, he is trying very hard to incorporate the three-point shot into his arsenal. And it's not all there yet. He's making a few, but he's certainly not a marksman at this point. However, I think Montrezl Harrell has clearly gotten the memo that for him to make it in the NBA, he's a little undersized, he's not the best defensively, he needs to have that three-point shot if he is going to be a long-term rotation player in the NBA, especially with Mike D'Antoni here in Houston. And the upside, he's come a long way. If you watch Montrezl Harrell last year at training camp and practices, he was not a guy who could shoot much beyond 12, 14 feet. His form looks pretty good. He's working hard at it. It's come a long way just in the last few months. Downside, typically, when you're looking at someone that's trying to add that much range to their shot, you're looking at a year or two transition. Add to that his obvious deficiencies with defense and trying to put on more pounds. And to me, Montrezl Harrell feels like a multi-year conversion project and a guy that could spend a lot of time in with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers this year, making further refinements to his shot as well as his defense and his overall game. I think the Rockets are very high on him long-term. He has some skills, especially offensively, that are pretty rare. And quite frankly, his ability to finish, to get up so quickly, he reminds me a little bit of at this point, a very poor man's Amari Stoudemire. And everybody knows how well Amari Stoudemire played in that Mike D'Antoni offense. So I think long-term, there's a very interesting skill set. Again, he's not a full-blown Amari, obviously, but you know, there are some skills that Mike sees that he would like to work with. However, to really be a player in the NBA, they want him to add range. They want him to be able to hit from the outside, and I doubt that's going to be ready to go this preseason and from day one in the regular season. I think that's more of a long-term project, so I would not count on, barring major injuries, Montrezl Harrell having any sort of a regular spot in the rotation of big men this year. I think it's much longer term prognosis, but I did think it's interesting just how much he's working on that, because hopefully later on in the year, especially by next year, he could potentially be a real surprise player, especially with how Mike D'Antoni wants to play. Anyway, that note, I'm going to wrap up this episode of Locked On Rockets. I'll probably be back with you guys towards the end of the week. Thursday, tomorrow, is an off day for the Rockets, so I'm not anticipating any news breaking. We could always hear something on Demo, but again, I think that will be closer to the weekend because Saturday, October 1st, that's the actual deadline for the qualifying offer, so we should probably hear something on that front within 3 or 4 days, not necessarily 1 or 2. Anyway, for now, just stay tuned with us. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And you can email the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you have any questions or if you would like to inquire about becoming a sponsor with this great show. Again, thanks to all of you for listening, and I will be back with you very soon.